Jesus is my plea. And daily walking close to thee, oh, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. I am weak, but thou art strong. Oh, Jesus, keep me from all wrong, and I'll be satisfied as long. Oh, as I walk, let me walk close to thee. Jesus is my plea, and daily walking close to thee, oh, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. And if I falter, Lord, who cares? And who with me my burden shares? It's none but thee, dear Lord.
That's your desire tonight.
And when my feeble life is old, and time for me will be no more, just guide me gently, safely, is my plea. While daily walking close to thee, oh, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. And I am weak, but thou art strong. Dear Jesus, keep me from all wrong, and I'll be satisfied as long. Oh, as I walk, Lord, let me walk close to thee, and just a
let's stand and sing it to him this evening. Yes.
Oh, granted, Jesus is. is my plea. While daily walking close to thee, oh, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. And just a closer walk with thee.
Desire tonight. Amen. God bless you. It's good to be here. This is 31 in your hymn book. Thankful you have promises you can stand on. Amen. What would we do without his promises? Thank God for them. I'm standing on the promises of Christ my King, and through eternal ages let his praises ring. Oh, glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. I'm in the blood for me. I'm standing in the liberty.
Every promise in the book, it's mine. Oh, every chapter, every verse, every line. Oh, I am trusting in His love divine. Oh, every promise in the book, it's mine. Oh, every promise in the book, it's mine. Oh, every chapter,
believe that tonight?
Amen.
Amen. What a blessed people we are to have that promise. And my, it's good to be in church tonight, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Good to feel His presence and be here and sing the songs of worship together. And I just want to remind you again, please, after church, watch your children in the parking lot. Make sure you know where they're at and what they're doing and that no cars are backing over them. And we are we have some things in the plans to try to make it a little bit easier for the children after service so they don't have to just run around the parking lot. But until we get that done, please do keep a close eye on your children. We don't want anybody to get hurt. And we got several unspoken prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord. Olivia Harambasic asked that we place an unspoken prayer request in for her. Also, Brother Jimmy has unspoken prayer requests he'd like to bring before the Lord. And Brother Joshua said, please remember Sister Estera in prayer. Some of her blood test results are abnormal. Also, she's been in pain in her left side for a couple of years, so we want to remember those situations in prayer. We know the Lord's more than able to come on the scene and answer those requests. And then please continue to remember Dad. His surgery is scheduled a week from today, so we want to remember him in prayer in that regard. And Sister Patty Hansel requested prayer for her daughter Morgan, who's flying home tomorrow from working in Boston and isn't feeling well. And also Jackson, my little nephew, he's running a fever tonight. I want to remember him in prayer. And little Sarah Soderquist has the flu and strep, so I want to remember her in prayer. And how many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring lower with uplifted hand? Amen. Oh, the Lord sees each one. Brother Ben, would you come tonight and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
It's good to be back. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord Jesus, Lord, we're a needy people, Lord. And you know all the needs tonight, Lord. I can't remember each one, Lord. But, Lord, you said, Lord, if we cry out your name, Lord, you would answer our prayer, Lord. Lord, we believe you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord. The same God that was with Moses, with Paul, Lord, and with Brother Bram, even though we didn't meet him, Lord. But it's the same God here tonight. Lord, we're calling your grace tonight, Lord, just to come amongst, Lord, and meet every need, Lord, in a special way, Lord. Anoint the Brother Nathan tonight as he's speaking, Lord, and just song leader, Lord, just let us open our hearts, Lord, just to receive your word, what you have in store, Lord. Lord, sometimes it's easy just to get wrapped up in life and just get focused on the other things, Lord, but let us come tonight and just yield to you, Lord Jesus, and just draw us close to you, Lord. Fill us more with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Just lead God and direct us, Lord, and just draw us closer to you. We love you and we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus Christ.
God bless you. You may be seated. At this time, we have a special from Sister Emma Branham and Anna and Rachel Marie Tyler.
Jericho, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho when the walls came tumbling down. You doubt your king of Gideon. You may talk about your men of Saul, but there's nothing like a little Joshua at the battle of Jericho. Oh, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho when the walls came tumbling down.
The ram horns, the sheep horns began to play, and the trumpet began to sound. Oh, Joshua children to shout, and the walls came tumbling down.
Oh, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho when the walls came tumbling down.
And the walls came tumbling down.
Appreciate that. Yes, those walls came tumbling down. It's wonderful. Appreciate that, ladies. All right, if the brothers would please come at this time. This is 314 in your hymn book.
He lets me walk down road of disappointment.
Through my darkest trials.
first verse again.
Sometimes he lets me walk down roads of disappointment. Oh, but he watches and he knows what's best for me.
You believe it tonight? Thank you, Lord. Let's stand and sing it to him this evening.
Oh, that's just his way of telling me he loves me. And it's a love beyond all human understanding. Successful just walking through this valley, I know he'll give me strength to climb the highest hill. My greatest strength comes through my darkest trials. Oh, and my greatest joy is knowing that he can trust in me.
Is that how you feel tonight?
Oh, that's just his way of telling me he loves me.
Aren't you glad that he loves you tonight? Amen. That he can put trust and confidence in you. Amen. What a blessed people that we are. Turn with me, if you would, to St. Mark's Gospel. St. Mark chapter 4 and verse 2. And we're still looking at this thought of yield. As we looked at several weeks ago, this word yield, it can mean several different things, but we looked at it first that it means to submit to a higher power, and then more recently we've been looking at that it can also mean to bring forth fruit. I don't know about you, but I want to do both. Amen. Amen. I want to yield so completely to him, to the highest power that there is, amen, that we would be able to bring forth fruit. St. Mark chapter 4 and verse 2. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on ground on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100-fold. Amen. Let's bow our heads together tonight. And before we go to prayer, I'd just like to mention as well, I didn't have it in my notes from earlier, but Brother Trevor will be leaving tomorrow morning to go to England and Finland for some services over there. So please remember him in prayer as well as we pray tonight for his traveling mercies and for successful services over there. There's a little bit of opposition with the going on with the group in Finland, and just want the Lord to give him wisdom and to be able to be a help there. And also just that the Lord would use him to bring much fruit into the kingdom. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for brothers that still have a desire on their heart to do something for the kingdom of God. Lord, as we may look in the weeks to come, you told your disciples there, you said the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Lord, I just ask that you'd be with our brother as he travels overseas, protect him in the planes and in the vehicles. Lord, wherever he'll go, whatever he'll do, may you just keep your guiding hand upon him, protect him, keep him safe. Use his ministry, Lord, to be a blessing to the people there in England and in Finland. Bring him back to us safely, Lord, with many testimonies of healings and salvation. And Lord, however you see fit to move over there in the country, may you just bring a revival to those areas, Lord, and just encourage hearts through our brother, Lord, we pray. And may you be with the continuation of this service tonight. Be with each one, Lord, in this age where there's so much going on, Satan going about as a roaring lion, trying to upset, trying to destroy families, trying to destroy lives, trying to get people to give up and just walk away from you or walk away from the message. Lord, I just ask that you would, Lord, give us strength for the journey. Lord, help us to recognize the tactics of the enemy, that he would love to come in and try to destroy any way that he can. But, Lord, we thank you that at the same time, when we know all that, and it's been prophesied in Scripture, yet at the same time, Lord, you prophesied and said that when he came in like a flood, that you'd raise up a standard against him. Yes. Lord, may you raise up a standard in lives. May you raise up a standard in families, in homes, in churches around the world, Lord. Lord, you said if we'd resist the devil, that he'd flee. Lord, may we yield to you tonight. Lord, help me to do my part, to yield, to get myself out of the way so that you could say something that would encourage those that are here tonight, Lord. And Lord, not only that, but may you also help the people to yield, Lord, to be able to see what you're trying to tell us through the quotes and the scriptures, Lord, that I feel so many times we live below our standards of what you've called us to be. But Lord, may we begin to recognize who we are and what you've called us to do, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name. And the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated. In this parable that Jesus gives, no doubt you've seen the spiritual aspect of this many times, maybe in families, maybe in churches, around the world, whatever it would be, that when something springs up, whether it's a religious move or whether it's a revival, whether it's a healing campaign or any type of a ministry or a revival that takes place in an area, whether it would be here in the States or overseas, and the word begins to go forth and begins to quicken people's hearts, the seed is being sown, and many times, you know, people, they'll just jump right up from it, and they'll go out on fire for God, and then they'll just burn out real quick. And not because that they were bad people necessarily, but just because they didn't get something anchored down on the inside enough. It was just on the surface, the anointing of the revival or the excitement of the meeting or whatever it would be. It enthused them and it excited them. And so they went out to do something. Many times, I'll be honest, I, as a young man, there were many times that I sat in services, no doubt like many of you have, and under the anointing and under the presence of God there, might just feel like you could run through a troop and leap over a wall, and that you was just going to go out, Brother Gabe, and just witness to the whole world, and you was going to be a missionary, and you was going to do this and do that. And then you went out of that service, and Monday hit, and you felt like you couldn't hardly crawl out of bed. You didn't feel like you was a Christian. You didn't feel saved. You didn't feel anything. And what was it? God didn't change. If you ever had an experience with God, your experience didn't change. But there's something about it when there's an anointing and an atmosphere there. And many times if you're not quick, we'll rush to make decisions or we'll rush to make promises to God. And then when we get out and face the thing on Monday and Tuesday and different things, we realize, Lord, this is going to be a lot harder than I thought it was. And so many times there'll be somebody that'll spring up and then quickly it'll fade away, whatever it would be. Sometimes it's because it's just not a seed, and we're not the one to judge and say, well, this one is seed and that one is not seed or whatever it would be. But sometimes it's just because there's no seed there. Brother Bram said there is no quickening in non-seed, no matter how much, you know. And I've tried to show things to people, some of the people walking away from the message and some of their arguments and things. I've tried to sit down and I've tried to talk to them on the phone, different things, and just show them some of their arguments are like Brother Branham said, they're about like the broth that was made from the shadow of a chicken that starved to death, that weak and that puny. But yet if there's not seed there, it doesn't matter how much you can explain the basics, doesn't matter how much you can explain how silly their reasoning is, doesn't matter how much you can explain how inconsistent their argument is or whatever. If there's no seed there, then there's no quickening in non-seed. Yet then there's others that maybe spring up for a while and fall away, not because there was no seed there, but because the ground was too hard. They still was holding on to too many things back there. And you know, you that sow seeds, or whether it's grass seeds or flower seeds or fruit or whatever it is, you know, if you go and you try to plant in something that's just old hard dirt that hasn't seen water in about 20 years, and you can't hardly get a shovel into it, and the seeds are not going to grow there. But if you can find, you go up into Minnesota and places like that, my wife's uncle has some sod farms up in there, and the soil is so black up there that there were some people come in from Arizona, and they asked one of the brothers there, they said, why do they burn the fields here? And they said, what do you mean burn the fields? They said, why do they burn it? Everything's black. And it's just the soil was so rich, they had never seen dirt like that. But you plant something in that kind of dirt and it'll grow. Many times, because externally or internally or whatever it is, we put up this facade of, oh, I don't want to show my emotions, and I don't want to let anything in. I've been hurt before. I've been this or I've been that. And so we put up this shield to kind of try to protect ourselves, and nothing can penetrate, even the Word of God. And we, because we get so hardened by, well, Sister So-and-so did this, and I put a lot of stock in her as a Christian, and then she went and did this, and now I'm just disillusioned. And this brother over here, I thought he was an anointed minister, and then he went and made this mistake, and this one over here, that they had a great church, and I was going there, and then I got hurt by somebody over there. And the soil begins to get so hardened that it seems like nothing can grow. It doesn't matter how hard the preacher preaches, doesn't matter how anointed the tape is, doesn't matter how the presence of God falls in the worship service. You sit there hardened and nothing can move. Why? You need a little bit of watering. You need a little bit of watering. Brother Branham said the same leaf out in Arizona that's a sticker and a thorn that would stick you, he said, you bring it back east and you begin to water it and you begin to take care of it in the right atmosphere and the right moisture. And he said that'll turn into a soft leaf where it was rolled up so tight that it was a thorn before. You ever meet people like that around the message? Rolled up so tight by their bitterness or by things in their past that they just want to stick you every time you get around them. They want to blast you. They want to give you their opinion or whatever it be, but they want to look outwardly at how everybody else is wrong, but they'll never look inwardly to look at their own problems. But let me tell you, you sit under the presence of the Holy Spirit and the watering of the Word and let Him come out and sit in the presence of the Son, and you'll begin to, if there's a seed there, it'll begin to ripen. The problem of it is that many people don't get in an atmosphere long enough for God to be able to do something for them. Jesus says in St. Luke chapter 8, verse 11, he said, now the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God. Now you remember in Luke chapter 1, when the angel came to Mary, he told her, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son,
and shall call his name Jesus. And we use that many times as a nice Christmas story that we read the children, or the pastor will get up and he'll preach a good Christmas sermon, or he'll play a Christmas-oriented tape or whatever it would be. And you know, it just becomes a good story to us if we're not careful. But I want to say tonight that this is not just something for 2,000 years ago that happened to an isolated virgin that was a Jewish woman there, but this can be fulfilled in any person's life that will yield to Jesus Christ. Amen. Not a physical womb, not a physical child. Not, I'm not talking about a physical Jesus, but Brother Bam said that our heart is the womb that Jesus wants to come and make himself known in. He wants to come and live in our life. And if you'll yield yourself to him, you'll conceive something. If there's a seed down on the inside there, it'll bring forth life just as it did in Mary. Amen. If it's that same seed, it'll be Jesus Christ again manifested in human beings. Amen. I'm not talking about a baby in a manger. I'm talking about the life that was in the baby in the manger. Amen. This word, bring forth, in the Greek lexicon, it means to bring forth, bear, produce fruit from the seed of a woman giving birth of the earth, bringing forth its fruits. Metaphor to bear, to bring forth. What is it? It's something that a life down on the inside. Now, Brother Benham said, well, you remember he was talking about, he was listening to the 4-H program there with a brother on the radio, and he said they was talking about how they had hybrid a piece of corn to where it was so identical, Brother Jimmy, all the chemicals, every little germ, everything, you could lay them side by side, you could cook them, you could pop them for popcorn, you could do whatever you wanted, and you would never be able to tell the difference. They had replicated this hybrid piece of corn, they had replicated it so similar that the human eye could never tell the difference. But Brother Bam said, you want to know how you can tell the difference? He said, bury them both in the ground. And the one that comes up is the one that had life in it. And the one that lays there and rots and never moves, that's the one that was your hybrid seed. Oh, you want to find out? Well, I don't know if Brother Nathan's really got the Holy Ghost. I don't know if he's bright or not. You want to find out how? Put me in the ground out here, and on resurrection morning, we'll find out whether I come forth or not. Amen. Whether there's quickening power in there, whether it's a real seed of God or whether it's not. Amen. It takes something to quicken the seed. There may be some people would like to put me in there earlier than others, but that's between them and the Lord. Perseverance, 1962. Brother Branham said, one day if Jesus tarries, I'll have to go. And then I want to partings leave behind me footprints by the gospel, the power of God by his word. I want to sow seeds that when the rain does fall, the Holy Spirit, that'll bring up to life the kind of seed that I have sown. Now he's going to tell us what kind of seed that it was. Was it a certain doctrinal seed? Was it two lords? Was it Perugia? Was it thunders? Was it this? Was it that? Was it a Baptist seed? Was it a Pentecostal seed? Was it just a move of a personality or what was it? He's going to tell us what kind of seed that he sowed. He said Bible seed. That'll bring a Bible church. That'll bring a Bible believing Christian. That'll believe, bring a Bible Holy Spirit into action. Because the word was written by the Holy Spirit, and when he comes, he picks up his own word. He's not coming back for non-predestinated seed. He's not coming back for something that wasn't in his thoughts in the beginning. He's coming back for that spoken word, that what he spoke forth. That's why in Future Home, Brother Branham tells it. I know it stumbled some of you when I began to teach that here until you went back in Future Home and saw that he said it. But that's why Brother Branham said this earth that we're sitting on won't be completely annihilated. Oh, we used to believe that. Many of you back in your denominational ideas used to believe it. Even when you first came into the message, maybe you believed it. But he said it won't be completely consumed and annihilated. He said this core that the earth is sitting on, everything that's on it that can be shaken will be shook down to the ground. All the pollution, all the man-made garbage, all the germs and diseases and sickness and death will be annihilated. But yet the earth that we're sitting on, the actual core, he said God cannot destroy it because it was part of his original world, word. Amen. Just as if you're part of his original word, Brother Bram said you can no more die than God can die. Amen. He's not talking about the flesh out here. We've seen many that have died that I believe had the real genuine article on the inside of them. He's not talking about the flesh. He's talking about that seed of life down on the inside. It can no more die than God can die if you're really one of His, because it's a part of God from the beginning. Amen. Just as this earth, when He spoke and said, let there be, He can't go back and say, I was wrong and I created the earth wrong, so I'm going to come back and fix it. The only thing wrong with the earth that He created is what man has done to it. Amen. The only thing wrong with us tonight is what man has done to us. Amen. We're in this condition because of something that happened back there in the Garden of Eden. It wasn't God that put us in this condition. It was God that came to reconcile us back to our original condition. Brother Bram said everything that Adam had, He came to redeem us back to that. Amen. So He said, just as you had to go through a process of water baptism and had to go through a process of death, burial, and resurrection, had to go through the process of being baptized by water and baptized by fire and all those things, baptized by the blood, He said, so did the earth have to have its purification. It was baptized with water way back there in the antediluvian destruction in Noah's days. It was baptized by the blood of Jesus Christ back there on Mount Calvary. And it'll be baptized by fire in Armageddon when the fire comes down. Then He'll come down. That's just man-made fire, atomic bombs and things like that. But then after that, He'll rain down fire out of heaven and consume the whole thing that can be consumed. And yet there'll be a core of the earth there that's still there for us to come back, and it'll bloom forth and yield fruits, and we'll live on it and be happy and enjoy. Why? Because we're going back to Eden again. Amen. You say, oh, I'm going to fly off somewhere on a cloud somewhere. I'm going over to Mars or Venus or Jupiter. You go right ahead. I'm going back to Eden. Amen. The meek shall inherit the earth, the Bible said. Presuming 1962, Brother Ram said, Jesus said the word is a seed, the Bible. God's word is the seed. How are you going to bring forth a Bible church with a denominational seed? Not just a denominational seed, but any man-made idea. Anything that you try to bring into the message that wasn't already in there, how are you going to bring forth a seed with a hybrid? I've seen brothers right around the message. They try to drag in their old Pentecostal ideas or drag in their old Methodist ideas or Baptist ideas. This seed won't mix with any other seed. Brother Bram said a mustard seed. He said, oh my, it's so small. How that Jesus likened it to, he said, if you can just have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, it'll move mountains. Brother Bram said, it's such a tiny little seed, one of the tiniest of all seeds, but he said, it won't mix with anything else. Don't mix your faith with anything else. Don't mix this message with anything else. It'll corrupt it. Man is constantly trying to make things better and trying to mix it and try to, well, if we add a little bit of this or add a little bit of that. Some of you sisters, maybe you had something from Betty Crocker or from your great-grandmother or whatever it was, and they had a recipe and you got in your mind, oh, if I just add a little bit more cinnamon or a little more sugar or a little more flour, it'll make it better. And usually it turns out like a bunch of junk and nobody wants to eat it because you didn't stick with the original recipe. Amen. That's what we do many times with the message. Well, it says this, but I think this would be better. No, you'll bring in man-made corruption and hybriding. The message will never produce life. Jehovah Jireh, 1957, he said, now I claim that Jesus raised from the dead and is living in His branches, His church, and gives each one gifts to yield themselves. Some to preach, some to sing, some to do others. What's he talking about? The branch. Jesus said, I'm the vine, but ye are the branches. Brother Bram said, if God's going to, we looked at it last week. Brother Bram said, if God's going to do anything, if He's going to bring forth seed, He's going to do it through the body. He said, God in any age, whenever He did anything, He did it through the body. Amen. You say, but we're in another age, Brother Nathan. It's still God's using the body. Amen. Go back in your mind. How did you hear about this? Somebody brought it to you. They might have brought it to you in tape form. They might have brought it to you preaching over the pulpit. They might have brought it to you witnessing down at Walmart or on the street or at your job. But somebody brought this to you. Amen. Somebody, because life always comes through the body. The angel could have went down there. I believe he had the power to do it. I believe he had the ability to do it. He apparently could communicate with humans because he communicated with Philip. But the angel didn't go directly to the eunuch. He sent a man to take the message to the eunuch. And he began to tell him. He said, how can I know? He said, you understand what you read there? He said, how can I, lest some man should guide me? I know that scares us, but what did Brother Bram say last week in the quote we read? He said that's been the hardest thing that God has ever asked any man to do, is get another man to believe him. Oh my, the Messiah, 1961. He said, then when God was made flesh and become the Messiah, then if we can yield ourselves to be the anointed like he was, we become Messiahettes. Amen. Either you believe that tonight or you don't. We become Messiahettes. That doesn't make me Jesus Christ, doesn't make you Jesus Christ, doesn't make Brother Branham Jesus Christ, but it means that Jesus Christ can dwell in human beings. Amen. Not the fullness of the Godhead bodily like walked down on the River Jordan there, but a portion of the Holy Spirit, that same life that was in Christ, can be in you tonight. What does that make you? A little Messiahette, an anointed one. Amen. You may not be anointed to do the same thing I am. I may not be anointed to do the same thing you do. The Lord knows none of us is anointed to do what Brother Branham did. God didn't call me to restore the word. He didn't call me. He didn't come and vindicate me down on the river. He didn't come and have his picture taken with me. He didn't call me to do the same thing that Brother Branham did. And so I'm not trying to do that, but I'm trying by the best of my ability to stay in the calling where he called me. Now, that's wonderful if you can sit under a pastor that'll do that, but if it just stops right here at the pulpit, it doesn't do much good. But my goal and my desire and the moving of the Holy Spirit, I believe, in this series is trying to convince you that you have to get in the calling where he's called you to. It's not just enough for the song leader to recognize it. It's not just enough for the pastor or the prophet to recognize it, but God is wanting you to step into the position that God has called you to. Go back and listen to the adoption series and see if that isn't what Brother Branham is telling us. Amen. God is looking for individuals that he can use, that he can work through, that he can move through. Some of you will come in contact with people this week that maybe I'll never meet in my life. Maybe I will never have the opportunity to witness to. Maybe if you don't witness to them, maybe they'll never come across another message believer. Maybe they'll never have somebody that would begin to talk to them about God sending a prophet in this age. He's looking for vessels that will yield themselves to him. Of course, the enemy wants to come in and he wants to bombard us with technology and he wants to bombard us with trials and with confusion and discouragement and depression, and he wants to get you to a point where you think God could never use me. Don't you listen to that lie of the devil. Amen. We've spent too much time on our flawed character series years ago for you to be able to be convinced of that. You say, well, I've had too many mistakes and I've had too much this and I went too far and I did that. Go back and read the book again and see some of these men. Look at men like Jephthah and Judah and David and Solomon and different ones that God used. You say, oh my life doesn't match up to theirs. Oh, it doesn't maybe if you read just the faith chapter, but go back in the Old Testament and read what their lives were like. A man like Jacob, that Brother Branham said, there he was, a shyster, a mommy's boy, a liar, a deceiver, but yet God looked and saw a predestinated seed. No doubt every one of us sitting here tonight, if we would have had Jacob and Esau lined up side beside each other, we would have said, goodness, Lord, please don't send Jacob to my church. He'll split my church. He'll upset people. He might drive people away. Don't send Jacob at all. Esau, he's a good man. He takes care of his mommy and his daddy. He's a tithe payer. He dresses so nice. He's a hunter. Oh my, he's got to be spiritual. And we would go on and brag about Esau and no seed there to be quickened. But the external, many times we do like Samuel did. And when he went down to anoint David, he looked at all his brothers. Oh, tall. And oh my, this one looks just like Saul. Look, he's almost as tall as Saul. And the robe will fit him and the crown will fit him. God said, don't you look at the outside. Samuel, stop looking at that. I don't look at just the outside, but I look at what's down on the inside, on the heart. Amen. I thank God that we serve a God like that. Amen. He can look beyond your faults. He can look beyond your mistakes. He can look beyond your trials and the battles that you're facing, and he sees what's down on the inside. Oh, sure, Satan would love to get you. He'd love to just keep you in a discouraged state where you don't feel like you can do anything for God. But that's just what the devil loves to try to do. Amen. We become Messiahettes, he said, little lights. That's what the church is supposed to be. Lights. Little anointed ones, that's God's church. Why do we have such a problem with this in the message today? When this is what the prophet taught us, that's what we're supposed to be. Lights, little anointed ones. But you start to do something, and somebody will tell you quickly, well, now, wait a minute. You're not. I don't know if you're qualified, Brother Layton. I don't know. Do you agree with us on this certain thing? Can you do it a certain way, Sister so-and-so? I don't know. You know, you can't be a preacher, and you can't be this, and you can't be that. That's right. Amen. I can say amen to that. But a lot of times we throw sisters just so far in the back pew that we don't think God can use them for anything. But go back and listen to questions and answers when they asked Brother Branham. Said, can a sister speak in tongues and prophesy in the church, or should she remain silent? He said, she can prophesy, she can speak in tongues, she can sing, she can testify, she can do anything but get in a pulpit and preach. Why? Because no man was supposed to be under subjection to her. I've asked people before, if Brother Branham was so against preachers just in general, why did he give us such a distinguishment between women preachers and men if he was just going to throw us all out the window? Why would he waste so much page time and tape time and length of magnetic tape explaining to us the difference between a woman preacher and a brother that would get up and do the same thing? Amen. What is it? Oh, my. You can't do this, Brother Trevor. You can't do that, Brother Jerry. You can't do this. God will work through anybody he wants, any way he wants, any time that he wants. Amen. We limit God so much. Well, if it's not Church of the Open Door, then I just don't know if they're really. Oh, don't you get that spirit on you. God is working all around the world. Amen. He's working through men of different callings, of different vocations, of different nationalities and races and colors. He's working through different churches and different tactics and different styles of worship service. He's working through human beings. He's working through women. He's working through children. But they just can't get up. A woman can't get up behind a pulpit and try to tell you what to do. Now, of course, a lot of them around the message, they have agreed to that and submitted to that. But they try to make Facebook or Instagram or one of these other social medias their platform to preach to the world in. Well, praise the Lord. You know, I'm not one of these people that is just completely thinks that social media is of the devil. It's a tool like anything else. You can use it for good or you can use it for evil. Brother Bram said, as much as he blasted televisions, he said the television isn't wrong. It's what they put on it. He said if they would have kept it for a good thing, it could have been used for a good thing. He said if the television's wrong, so's the telephone, so's the newspaper, so's all these things. That's what he said. I think he'd say the same thing about social media and the internet and all these things. I know there's been brothers get up and preach that the internet was the Antichrist and all that, but I can't say that because the prophet didn't say it. I don't hate those brothers, but I just disagree with them. I still love them and pray for them, and I hope they do the same for me, but I don't see that by the message. But yet it can be used, you know, if you're not careful, all these things, if we're not careful, the enemy will slip in, and the majority of the time we'll use it for something bad instead of for something good. People use it to air out their dirty laundry of their family troubles and all that. That is so immature. Get on Facebook or Instagram or something. And, you know, Brother Layton, he's not doing it. I'm just using him for example. For him to get on there and run down one of his family members and say, well, so-and-so did this, and I don't agree with it. Social media is not the place for a family argument. Social media is not the place to discuss all the, somebody say, oh, I didn't like the way they treated me at this church, and I don't like the way they do it over here and all that. What is it? Sowers of discord. God said he hated it. God said he hated it. Oh, we love our little audio clips. You know, take the harshest thing that a brother will say in a sermon or whatever and put that on social media or text it to somebody that won't take the time to listen to the whole sermon. Brother Trevor was telling me, he said, somebody might clip out a piece of audio of you from the other week or whatever. He said, it might be bad. I said, if they do that, then they're just looking for something anyhow. Amen. You can audio snippet me all you want, but take the whole thing I'm saying if you really want to get the balance of it, not just a 5-second audio clip. And if you think that people should give me that benefit of the doubt, then you should give it to somebody else that you don't agree with. Don't just judge somebody's whole life and ministry and their background over a 30-second clip that somebody played you. Well, praise the Lord. I don't know who this is for tonight, but I hope it's helping somebody. Lights, anointed ones. Why couldn't a woman be a preacher, Brother Branham? Why couldn't a woman be a preacher, St. Paul? Because she's not supposed to usurp authority over a man. That's why people have a problem with the ministry. They don't want any headship. They don't want anybody to usurp authority over them in any way. And so when we don't have headship at church, then we don't have headship in the home, and the home falls apart, and then we don't have headship on down, and it just falls apart. Why? Because there's not an example set from the top down. Amen. I want to set an example here. I want to set an example not just at this church. I want to set an example in my home that when my children raise up in life and they get to be teenage and 20s and things and they start to get to looking for, or you know, with Ruth probably we'll say about 40 years old, she starts looking for a husband. I want them to be able to see what headship is and what leadership is and how a wife should treat a husband and how a husband should treat a wife. Many times we forget that there's little eyes and little ears watching. And we need to set that example. This is how a husband should treat his wife, and this is how a wife should treat her husband. Oh my, God help us. Satan hates that. Satan hates these things. Satan hates a real woman that'll really be a woman, that'll dress like a woman and act like a woman and find her place in the body of Jesus Christ. Satan hates that, and he will try everything that he will do, can do to destroy it. And sometimes if he can't use anybody else, he'll come right in and use her husband to do it. I've seen a lot of good sisters around the message. They started wearing shorter skirts and lower tops and just started trimming the ends a little bit. Why? Because their husband wanted some supermodel wife that they could put out there as a trophy wife. Shame on a husband that'll do that. Shame on her. I've seen them go, oh my, when they come to church, you know, they just dress so perfectly and my, all the skirts are just the right length and everything, you know, almost a turtleneck. But then they go on vacation and dress like a Jezebel and put it on social media for men to look at and lust after them. Brother Bram said, would God use his daughter to deceive a man, to send them both to hell? He said, don't put that on my God. That's not the Spirit of God doing that. It might be a spirit, but it's not the Spirit of God that would do that. A woman that wants to stay and find her place in the home and raise her children and teach them and do all that she can, and then because her husband wants a bigger boat or a bigger car or three cars in the driveway or another story house or whatever, he places her out there in the workforce for men to flirt with her and make rude comments to her and all kinds of spirits and things that she has to contest with. You say, oh, Brother Nathan, you must be one of these guys that's just an anti-feminist and you don't believe in women working. I don't believe in women working if they don't have to. Neither did the prophet. You go back and listen. I know we don't like those quotes when he said her place is in the kitchen, but he said it whether you like it or not. And I believe that just as much as I believe the seals or the church ages or any of the rest of it. It's either all word or it's all false. You can't pick and choose your favorite quote and your favorite scripture. Amen. Either we're following the truth or we're following error. I don't know about you, but I believe I'm following the truth. Amen. So I believe him when he said, now, they ask him in questions and answers, Brother Branham, is it wrong for a woman to work? He said, no. He said, sister, if your husband gets laid off of work or he's injured or you're trying to make ends meet, hey, sister, Hope worked at Fine Shirt Factory right down the road here. Why? Because they couldn't even afford to keep a chair that they had tried to purchase. It was depression age times, and so he wasn't just one-sided or whatever on it. He recognized there were times and places that women did have to go into the workplace, but the perfect scenario, the perfect Christian home should be that the husband goes out and provides and the wife stays home and takes care of the children. I know sometimes because the wife can get a better job, you have these stay-at-home dads that become big sissies, and then you wonder why their children turn into perverts and queers and things, because mama could make a bigger check than they could. You say, oh, you're preaching awful hard tonight, Brother Nathan. It'll do you good if you'll just listen. It'll do you good if you just listen. Oh, but it's not enough for us in Laodicea. For our little home and our little car and to drive a used one and to have the, you know, hand-me-down clothes for the kids. We got to be prestigious more than that. For our daughter to have a simple wedding, we've got to outdo the Joneses and we got to outdo this one. So we've got to constantly go and further and further and further in debt. So mama's got to get a job. And then daddy's got to get a second job. And then mommy's got to get a second job. And then the kids are sitting there with a TV remote or an internet being their babysitter. And you wonder why they struggle with addiction and spirits and things.
Amen.
Give them a remote control and say, here, let this babysit you for a few hours.
Amen.
Oh, my. And we wonder why there's so much confusion in homes and distress and things. Because we've got it all twisted. But a lot of it started in the church. We got it all twisted there. We've let deacons come in and run message churches. And we've let pastors sit there and get pushed around by people. And, oh, well, this brother's a money man, so I guess I better just cow down to him and let him make some decisions for the church. I don't care how much tithes you pay or how little you pay. Jesus Christ, as long as I have breath in my body and as long as you keep voting me in as pastor, the Holy Spirit will be the one that leads the church, not a tithe payer, not even the pastor, not just my opinion or my ideas. I want the Holy Spirit to lead and guide this church. Amen. Millionaires come into churches and sit down, and you, before you know it, you begin to see the pastors and the deacons and the trustees begin to cow down to it. Sometimes I pray, Lord, don't send any millionaires to our church. We're doing all right. The bills are being paid. My salary's being paid. We got, you know, we don't have hardly any debt except a little. We owe 0% on the parking lot out here. Lord, we're doing all right. Don't send us big money men to be burdens to us. The common people heard him gladly. Amen. The common people. Brother Nathan, you against women working? No, not if there's a need. Not if you've been injured or you're out of work or something. She's got to step in. Not if there's some bill that you're trying to pay off and she's got to step in and work for a while. But when the whole goal is just, well, she'll just keep working and keep working and keep working, and we'll get a bigger house and a bigger boat and a bigger this and a bigger that and nicer this and nicer that. What are you doing? You're petting the flesh instead of listening to what the Spirit would say. You might not like me after tonight, but I'm yielding whether you want to yield or not. Amen. This wasn't in the notes, so I'm just trying to yield tonight. Messiah 1961, God could dwell supremely to do our thinking, do our walking, do our talking. Then it's no longer the man, it's God in the man. Again in the Messiah 1961, he said, now he's got light, life, eternal life is the light of God that dwells in the man. And if he will yield to the Spirit, more he becomes unman sinner-like and becomes more God-like. I don't know about you. I want to see this pattern in my life. Lord, let me keep yielding. Let me become unman sinner-like and more God-like day by day. Amen. I'm tired of the man sinner side. I want to be more of the God side. You realize we'll never get this guy here or we'll never get him to the Holy Ghost, the outside man, the flesh. He will never be, the Holy Ghost will never convert this flesh out here. It's always going to be dragged down. That's why that inside man, Paul said, he had to die daily. Because the inside man was constantly at battle with this outside man. Some of you brothers go down here to Walmart and Kroger and different things. And if there's ever been an age of traps, hey, Brother Bram said, any red-blooded male, he said, you can't tell me that you can embrace a woman and not have a sensation. He said, if you are, there's something wrong with you. All right, we know that in this age, there's a lot of them that have something wrong with them, but I'm not one of them, all right? Amen, I'm a red-blooded male, and I have to stay prayed up, and I have to watch where I go and how long I look at something. Brother Bram's talked about that cross in our car and things like that, how we should keep our eyes on Jesus, not at what's shaking itself down the aisle in Kroger. They've got them now. Oh, it wasn't enough for tights or short shorts, or it wasn't enough for skirts that kept getting shorter and shorter. It wasn't enough for pants, but now they've got see-through tights everywhere you go. Why? To try to send the sons of God to hell by looking at some of that stuff. Oh, they'll pour themselves into something. You think, how on earth did you even get into that without ripping something physically or materially? It's the age that we live in. Amen. If Brother Branham could talk about it back in the 1960s and see a vision sitting down here down there by J.C. Penney's Youngstown. Thank you, Brother Trevor. When my memory fails me, he's there for me. Youngstown Shopping Center, sitting there. He said the worst he'd ever seen anybody dress was Jeffersonville, Indiana, 1965. How bad could it have been in 1965 without her getting locked up? But now look at him out here. Now look at him out here. Brother Branham said that man told the sister there, or not a sister, a woman, I guess. He said he was a foreigner or whatever, and he hadn't seen anything like that. He said, ma'am, he said, you forgot your skirt, ran out there. Now they've forgot their skirt, their pants, their shorts, everything. They're just walking around in their tights out here. Why? To try to deceive the sons of God. It's not playing around time. It's time that I want to get that sinner, unmanned, sinner-like part of me so died out and so less of that to where more and more and more of God can come in. Amen. It'll save your home. It'll save your marriage. It'll save your family. It'll save you heartache. It'll save you misery. Oh, my. The Word became flesh, India Trip Report, 1954. He said, God, through his prophet Isaiah, a man who had his ups and downs like we do, had his mistakes like we do. I know people don't like that and don't believe that, but it's what he said. Had his mistakes like we do, but God got the man so yielded by being a prophet that his words, God's thoughts, he says, hallelujah. God's thoughts expressed through those mortal lips of Isaiah. A man with sin and things, I have, with his ups and downs like I have and like you have, but a yielded vessel to God expressed the thought, God's thought through the Word. A man with ups and downs, and yet he could yield himself so much to God that God could speak through the mortal lips of this man. Don't you think Isaiah got discouraged? Don't you think when he went in there, my, you talk about a discouragement for a prophet. When he walks in there and he tells Hezekiah that he's going to die, and then he goes back out and Hezekiah turns his face to the wall and repents, and God says, go back in and tell him I've allotted him 15 more years. Oh, don't you think that was hard for a prophet of God? Don't you think people misunderstood in that age until we had a full restoration and a prophet in this age could explain to us what happened there? Don't you think it stumbled people about Isaiah's ministry? I don't understand. You came and you said, thus saith the Lord, he's going to die. But now you're saying he's got another 15 years. I don't understand. Maybe Isaiah didn't understand. But he had yielded himself so much to God, to whatever God said, whether it made sense to Isaiah or not, he said it. If we could get that way. We'll look at it in a few weeks. Brother Arnie texted me the scripture one Easter. I was praying and studying what to do and what to say, and he sent me a text, and it was from Psalm there where it said, open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. That's not just for the pastor. Some of you that are trying to encourage people in your family, or trying to encourage people at your church, or trying to encourage people at your work that you run into, and you don't know what to say, and you don't know how to tell them, and you don't know where to turn or what to do, open your mouth and let him fill it. The Bible said, take no thought what you shall say. But the Holy Spirit can give you the words. And let me tell you, if the Holy Spirit gives you the words, you'll know. You'll know it's not just you and your opinion and your stubbornness and that you got all upset and irate about something. When he begins to speak, you'll know, because you'll say, Lord, I don't know what that was all about. I don't know why I said that. Lord, you know, if it was me, I wouldn't have said that. But that had to be you. You ever had times like that? Amen. The way of a true prophet, 1963, he can rise up men, anoint men to bring his word. He can put the word in a man, send him forth and prove that he's God by that person that will humble himself and submit himself to God and not be afraid to take God at his word. He is able to do it, and he will do it. He promised he would. The problem is, many times we get scared. I don't know if God could use me like that. I don't know that God still works like that. Let me tell you, his word said that he does. So let's just take him at his word tonight. Convinced then concerned, 1962, oh brother, sister, how he wants to get in among his church. How he wants to move among them. How he wants to express himself to the world. He can only do it as he uses you and I. God wanting to express himself. God wanting people at your work to see that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, if you've been around long at all, and you've heard some tapes, and you've heard me preach, and you've seen God move, it's easy for us to sit here in these four walls and recognize, thank you, Lord, we know that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know that you're still speaking. We know that you're still working. We know that the tapes are still anointed. We know that signs and wonders follow. We know that there's miracles and things. But hey, there's people on your job, and people at your school, and maybe even people in your family that don't know. And how are they going to know? It's not just enough to send them a link of your pastor. That's wonderful if you feel led to, but that's not all that it is. Why would they want to listen to a link of your pastor or the prophet or anybody else if they don't see something in your life that's different? If you haven't been salty enough for them to see, hey, there's something real in this, why would they want to take the time to hear me or Brother Branham or any other man? But when they can see something in you that they say, there's something different about Brother Jimmy. There's something different about this one and that one. I see him on the job. I see him down at school. I see him in these places. I see the way they treat me, even when maybe I've said something evil against them. You see, in this age, we get so single-minded and so narrow-minded that somebody says something against us or about what we believe or our past, or the prophet or somebody, and we blow up like a frog eating buckshot, as Brother Branham would say. Bless God, that person's deceived. They're just old serpent seed or something. You ever think that maybe that was just the devil trying to place a wedge there from you being able to reach a predestinated seed because of your preconceived ideas about them? And Satan come in and try to hinder that? And instead of you doing like the woman we talked about the other night, when the man came in and threw the plate on the floor and all that, and she said, oh, must I be carried on to heaven in a fire bed of ease? Or when others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas, and she just went over there and started picking it up. Oh, my. I don't know how some of you would react if something like that happened in your home. I don't know how I would react for sure. We say, oh, bless God, I don't know how to react. Let me tell you, until something happens, you don't know exactly how that you'll react. Job didn't know exactly. He could have thought maybe in his mind, Lord, no matter what you take from me, I'll always serve you. But he didn't really know how he would react until he was living it. it's easy for us to give advice to somebody and say, now, Brother Layton, if I was in your situation, I would do A, B, C, and D, and I'd just be a perfect, I would just be an image of message material, and everybody could look and see that my decisions were right and holy, and my words and my nature and my actions were perfect. If I were in your shoes, that's how I would do it. But when you're living in some of these things, it's a little harder. And so God is calling for us to rise up to a place to where all these little things that the enemy, these little bombs that the devil tries to put in your way to destroy friendships or destroy families or destroy relations with somebody that maybe you could be a help to, the enemy, hey, if he can keep you out of church, he'll do it. He'll find some way to do it. If he can send somebody here that you don't like and you're just uncomfortable with them sitting way back in one corner of the church and you sitting way up here in another corner of the church, if the devil knows that that'll drive you away from church, he'll send everybody like that he can here just to get you to stop coming. If the devil can plant it in your mind that, oh, well, I think Brother so-and-so or Sister so-and-so, they'd come to church if I wasn't here, but just because of something in our past, I think that hinders them from coming to church. If he can place that in your mind to get you to keep from coming, he'll do whatever he can. If he can place something in your mind about a brother or a sister to cause some contention there, or he can cause them to say something or do something, could we recognize the tactics of the enemy long enough tonight to recognize he is a destroyer and he's trying to destroy? And may we raise up a banner and a standard tonight and say, I am sick of him trying to defeat every move that God makes, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And if somebody treats me bad, if somebody looks at me funny out of the corner of their eyes from the other pew, or if I don't agree or whatever it is, I'm going to let my light shine because I've got a seed down on the inside of me that God is calling me to yield to, and I want to be less less sinner man-like and more God-like. Amen. I want more of God in my life. We let the devil defeat us so easily sometimes. I know some of you have been going through trials for months and years and maybe even decades that Satan has beat you up. And I get it that it's hard and it's difficult. But some of us, it doesn't take us months or years or decades. Some of us, it just takes a little something somebody puts on Instagram and we're ready to blow up, or something that somebody said at church that we just some little rough edge that, well, I didn't agree the way Brother so-and-so said that. And I just don't know if I'll be back. Or well, I don't know if Brother Nathan should do this or do that, or I don't know, I don't like Sister Susie sitting across the pew, so I just don't know if I'll ever be back. Don't you recognize the enemy is trying to shake everything that can be shaken? But if you're anchored in Jesus Christ, he won't be able to shake you. The winds, the waves, the trials, every demon out of hell won't be able to shake you away from this word if you're really grounded in Jesus Christ. Satan, what did Jesus say to Peter there? He said, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. And he said, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. How many times I'd like to get people and just shake them sometimes and say, Satan is trying to sift you like wheat, but I'm praying for you. I believe there's something better for you. I believe there's something more for you. Satan is trying to shake everything that he can. But it's time we raise up and say, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of him defeating me. I'm tired of him trying to put every little situation in the way to hinder me from doing what God has for me. I'm going to testify. I'm going to witness. I'm going to live a life, whether they make fun of me, whether they talk bad about me, whatever it is, I'm going to shine a light for somebody to see. Why are people so tossed about 1956? You say, well, you see, I believe it to be the truth, Brother Branham. That's right. He said, it's in here. But it has to come here. It's easy for us to look and say, oh, I believe it, Brother Nathan. Amen. I can say amen to the word. I can read those quotes too. I can say that. It's all right to get it up here. I believe in memorizing it. I believe in quoting it. I believe in knowing it up here. But if you don't got it down here, when the trials come, you'll just be like that man that built his house upon the sands and it'll just wash right away. It can't be enough just to be up here in the intellect. It's got to come down in the heart. He said, if it is, then your whole makeup is Christ. Your attitude, your desires, your appetite, your everything is Christ, yielded, resting, everything perfect. No matter how dull it looks or how black it looks, still it's the same. Christ is in you. Oh, God, give each and every one of us that kind of experience. so much of him on the inside to where our emotions, our appetite, our attitude, everything. You go back and you read the Gospels and you see how they treated Jesus Christ when he was here in a flesh body. All he did his whole life, he was just going about trying to do good, trying to heal somebody, trying to help somebody, trying to show grace and mercy and forgiveness and love and try to raise somebody up and give them a helping hand and say, look, I don't care what your past is. I don't care if you've been a prostitute. I don't care if you was caught in the very act of adultery. I don't care if you're a Pharisee or a Sadducee or a hypocrite or a publican or whatever your past history has been. I'm here to help you. And then he didn't tell them, you know, just some dotty gospel of just go on and keep doing those things. He said, go your way and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. But he was constantly helping, healing, raising the dead, working signs and wonders and miracles, feeding the multitudes. What could they say evil about the man? What criticism could they find? They couldn't even find anything negative to say. So they had to bring false witnesses to Pilate. My, can you imagine living like that? Can you imagine Brother Todd living, Brother Lee, a life? Oh my, I pray to God that he'll help me live such a life to where the only thing negative that somebody could say about me was a lie. Amen. Amen. You know, some people, me and my family, we've had a lot of lies told on us the last couple of years. And I thought, goodness gracious, there were so many true things that I've made mistakes and been a failure at over the years. You'd have thought they could have used some of those. Why did they have to make up any? But I want to live such a life to where even my enemies would have to make. Isn't that wonderful, Brother Buckles? That somebody could. Brother Ram said a man can live in such a place that the devil don't even know what to do with him. I can't say, Brother Jimmy, that I'm there for sure yet, but I'm sure headed that direction from what I used to be. Get to such a spot where the devil throws up his hands and says, I don't know what to do with this guy. Like he did with Moses there. Got so upset, said, just get out of Egypt. Take your cattle. Take your women. Take your children. Just get out of here. I don't know what to do with you. I want to live that kind of life to where the only thing somebody could say about me was something they made up. A figment of their imagination. Jesus lived that type of life. And yet they were constantly, he'd have to slip out of crowds and things to keep them from stoning him. For healing the sick on the Sabbath day. Because they were so caught up in their man-made traditions. He lived that kind of life. Didn't matter what anybody said about him. Didn't matter how they treated him. He didn't just say, turn the other cheek. He was able to do it. He didn't just say, forgive those that despitefully use you. He was able to do it. He didn't just say, love those that despitefully use you and that would kill you if they could. He did it. In his very last breaths, he showed that he was more than talk when he said, Father, forgive them. Man, a lot of times somebody can't say something about our family in passing or to somebody we know and it get back through us through the grapevine, us be able to do that. And they were killing him physically, taking him. Brother Bram said, no man could take his life. He laid it down, but they were sure doing everything in their power to try to take his life. They had beat him. They had spit upon him. They had ripped out his beard. They didn't just beat him with an old leather lip. They had, with an old leather whip, they had little metal balls in it that was literally taking chunks of flesh out of his back. They were spitting in his face, slapping him, saying, hitting him over the head with a stick, saying, hey, he was blindfolded there. Prophesy and tell us who hit you on the head with a stick. I want to say again tonight, I know I've said it before, but he knew before he ever said, let there be, back in the very beginning, who would hit him on the head with a stick. It wasn't a shock to him. It wasn't a surprise. It wasn't something that he had to figure out. He knew. And he still, as they're placing those nails in his hands and his feet and forcing that crown of thorns down upon his head, and they lift that cross up. And some of you, I don't know about you, every time they do it on Ben-Hur, it just about takes my breath away. I hate that part of the movie when they pull the cross up and it drops down in that hole. And I thank goodness gracious, he did that for me, Brother Trevor. Can you imagine being nailed to a cross and them dropping it in a hole and how that would rip your hands and your feet and your flesh? And he didn't say, oh, you just wait till I point my finger and 10 million angels come and destroy this earth. You just wait, Ephesus. Oh, you old serpent seed, you old hypocrite. I'm going to see you burn in hell. He said, Father, forgive them. Amen. And we've got the same spirit tonight. God help us. Whatever anybody has said or done about you, after all that, it seems like a little bit less, doesn't it? A whole lot less. A whole lot less. Former and latter rain, 1960, Brother Graham said, now, you and I could have no more of God in us than what we can yield ourselves. As much as we abide. He said, as much as Bill Branham as I can get out of the way, God will come in. But as long as William Branham's in there, then God has no way of getting in. And the same with you. You wonder sometimes why God doesn't use us more. It's because there's too much Bryant or Hoover or Stutzman or Pierce or Eamon or whatever. You read your last name in tonight. Amen. Don't just leave us few brothers hanging out there to dry. Too much of us still on the inside for him to come in and use us like he'd want. Why? Too much pride, too much bitterness, too much something that we're holding back against somebody. Too much of this, too much of that. Oh, stubbornness or jealousy or whatever it is, or just old something from 20 years ago that you're holding on to that somebody did. Oh, why don't you let go of that thing so more of God can come in? He said it's getting ourselves out of the way, not looking the way we think, not doing the way that we think, but letting him do our thinking, letting him do our looking, listening to the Holy Spirit. Oh, my. If we could look, Brother Trevor talked about it just recently on a Sunday night, those eyes, how that those eyes of compassion, those eyes that wept much, how that one day those eyes would look in judgment. But if we could look through his eyes, those eyes of compassion, I believe we would see situations completely different. You say, oh, but Brother Nathan, Brother so-and-so did this, and Sister so-and-so said that about me, and Brother so-and-so said this about you, and Sister so-and-so over here said something about my grandma or my aunt or whatever it is. I just don't know if I could forgive him. Oh, you get more of you out and more of him in, you will be able to. Yes. Influence, 1963, said, see, we each one has something to do. The common little fellow here that may be a janitor, the little woman that may be a housewife, the greatest minister on the face of the earth today could not take your place.
Glory to God.
Either you believe it or you don't. You, he says, God had a purpose in making you what you are.
Amen.
We look many times because of pulpit time or because of my congregation size, or because, you know, well, this brother over here in this state, or this brother overseas, or whatever, he's got 20,000 sitting in his church, or he's got this many streaming his services, or he's got this, or he's got that. And we look at that and we think, my, how could I ever compare to something like that? Maybe some of you look at me and you think, my, look at Brother Nathan or Brother Trevor, or some of these brothers going overseas and doing this and that. How could I ever compare to that? We get this idea of big I and little you and vice versa and all this stuff and putting people up on pedestals. Brother Branham said the greatest minister on the face of the earth today could not take your place. The janitor or the housewife or the two that he's lotting in here and including. Or the little child. Or the song leader. Or the guy that trims the hedges out here at the church or sweeps the floors or whatever. There's nobody, he said, that can take your place.
Amen.
Nobody. God, if so, then God wasted his time in creating you and bringing you here. Why would he bring you here and sit you here and place you in this message and lead you to Jesus Christ and just sit you there and say, now, Philip, you can't ever do nothing because your daddy's a preacher and there's other minister brothers here. There's other people. They'll take care of it. No, even these little children, I'm seeing God do things through. Not just my children. I'm just picking on him tonight because he's mine. But your children, my children, whoever's children, God can use the little child. Jesus said, unless you become like a little child, you'll never see the kingdom of God. And God has a purpose for you. And oh, how Satan would try to rob you of that purpose. How Satan would try to put a wrench in the works to try to stop you from that. And maybe you felt inklings of it since you was a little child. I don't know about you. I never really knew I was going to be a pastor, especially not in this area. But since I was about 3 or 4 years old, I knew that I was going to be a preacher. Not because somebody told me that. Not because somebody was convincing me and shoving me along to it. Because something down on the inside, I just knew. You can question it or you can believe it, but I'm just telling, I have no reason to lie to you about it. Some of you, maybe that's a singer, maybe when you was 3 years old, walking around singing, somebody say, goodness gracious, how old is that little child? They've got a voice like an angel. Nobody trained you. You didn't take lessons or whatever. What was it? A gift that God placed in your life. Brother Hoover, I guess when he was 5, he was opening and shutting the door for people and taking them and showing them where to sit. And at his house, I don't know what it was, but I can see that gift in his life. I say that, and I don't want any of the other deacon brothers to think I don't see it in theirs too, but I like to pick on Brother Hoover. But he's celebrating Valentine's Day early tonight, I see. Each one of you, God called you to do something, to be something. He put something in your life. He didn't do that just randomly. He didn't just do that just so that you could sit on a pew and come. And hey, I appreciate those of you that pay tithes. I appreciate that. But God didn't just call you to come and sit on a pew and put an envelope in every Sunday. God didn't just call you to come and turn to the songbook wherever Brother Furman sang and sing under your breath or mouth the words or whatever you do. He didn't just call you to do that. God called you for a reason and a purpose. He has a way. Maybe you look at your personality. Maybe your parents, maybe your spouse has looked at your personality and think, goodness gracious, Lord, what are you doing here? Because each one of us is an odd stone. I talked about it at Brother Danny Steeman's one time. Maybe you look at some people and you think that is an odd shaped stone, but it's going together to be part of a building, just like it was in the temple when they threw one stone back and said that stone is so odd shaped and so weird it'll never be able to fit in the building, and it was the chief cornerstone and they rejected it. And maybe you've been rejected. Maybe you've been criticized. And maybe there's people that have told you that you're worthless and you'll never amount to anything. And God's not going to ever use you. But what do you think? That you think that's God speaking through him or the devil? That doesn't mean that person's a devil. But the devil can anoint anybody just like the Holy Spirit can anoint anybody. Now, the Holy Spirit coming and living on the inside of you is different than just anointing you. But the Holy Spirit can anoint anybody. He anointed an old donkey once to talk to Balaam. Didn't mean the donkey was filled with the Holy Ghost, but he was anointed to speak a few words to Balaam. Many times, Satan loves to use people just as God loves to work through people. Satan does the same thing, and he'll try to get somebody to discourage you or scar you. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about emotionally, or hurt you in some way to try to damper that gift. And maybe as a child, you're trying to sing, and your voice is cracking and changing. Somebody laughs at you and think, bless God, I'll never sing again. That's the devil trying to stop you from using a gift. Some of you brothers say, oh my, I try to pray and things and I get so emotional. That's just the devil trying to stop you from doing it. That's just the devil trying to stop you from being a blessing to somebody. God has a purpose. God has a reason for you. God calls each and every one of us. Brother Bram said, down to the housewife has a ministry. He said, the greatest minister on the face of the earth today could not take your place. He says many times, he said, I couldn't take Billy Graham's place. He said, no doubt he couldn't take mine. God didn't call him to be a Billy Graham. God didn't call Billy Graham to be a Brother Branham. He didn't call him to do that. He called him for their purpose. That's wonderful. We recognize that. I thank God for eyes to see that and ears to hear it in this age. But he also is calling you. He's calling you to do something. Maybe some of you from a child, you've known what it is and you've struggled with it because you know it's not popular, or you know somebody might make fun of you, or you may not know, you may know somebody will disagree with you, or that it'll just rub somebody the wrong way, or they'll think this or they'll think that, or they'll try to dig up my past, or they'll do this. It's the devil trying to quench that gift out in your life. May not be a gift to preach, maybe a gift to sing, maybe a gift to witness to somebody, maybe a gift just to try to talk nice to somebody in your family that rubs you the wrong way. But God placed something in your personality maybe where you could reach him and nobody else could. He says God had a purpose in making you what you are. And you just serve God in the way that he made you, see? And I think if we would do that, the wheels would roll a lot easier. I know it's getting late. Musicians, if you'd come. I'm trying my best to slow down here. But I've got a couple more quotes I want to read to you before we close tonight. He cares, do you care? 1963. I love how just the sermon titles of Brother Branham's messages, sometimes we could just stay right there and just get a blessing out of it for days and weeks and months. Just to think about that. He cares, do you care? Brother Trevor was hitting it Sunday night. He cares about you. Now, that's not the question. The question is, do you care? Right. He cares is a statement. Do you care is a question. 1963, he says, and now when you commit yourself to him, then he uses you beyond what you know, proving he's still the anointed word, a discerner of the thoughts of the heart. He said, oh, how can anyone doubt? I struggle sharing things like this because I know there'll be some people say, well, he just said that to puff himself up. But I feel led to share it tonight after reading this quote. So if you feel that way, I forgive you and love you anyhow. But a few services ago, and I hope the sister doesn't mind me sharing it. I don't know the details, so I don't think she will. A few services ago, I was preaching, and there was a sister that had a conversation with somebody else. I don't know who the somebody else was. I don't know what the conversation was. But she said, I went right down a line in that service that was so specific, word by word of things that they had said, that she said the sister approached her after church and said, did you tell Brother Nathan that? I can't believe you would tell Brother Nathan that. She said, I haven't talked to Brother Nathan. I haven't texted Brother Nathan. Now, a brother called and shared that with me, and I was telling him, I said, Brother, you see, some ministers would try to take that and try to turn that and say, look at me, look at something, look at how I'm a prophet or I'm this or that. I said, that's not a prophet. That's not even a prophecy. A prophet would have said, now, Sister so-and-so, you had this conversation with this sister over here, and this is what you said, and this is what she said back. And he would be able to call the name and the position and where they was at and what they was doing, because he would see it by vision. I didn't do that. I don't have the ability to do that. I still don't know who the other sister was. I don't know what the conversation they had was. All I know is God did something. How could he do it through somebody that didn't know what the conversation was or anything about it? We just read. When you commit yourself to him, then he uses you beyond what you know. Beyond what you know. Sometimes you call somebody on the phone, you say something, and maybe they break down in tears, and all you're just doing is trying to call and tell them, hey, I just been thinking about you, been praying for you, and just had you on my heart all day today, and I couldn't get away from it. And they break down on the other line sobbing and crying and say, you just don't know how I needed that today. What is it? You didn't know. You didn't know their situation. It was God using you because you yielded to him. Doing something beyond what you knew, proving that he's still the anointed word, a discerner of the thoughts of the heart. He's still able to do that tonight. Yes. That doesn't make me anything. That makes him everything. Amen. He said, oh, how can you doubt it? Presence of God unrecognized, 1964. He says, he dwells in his word, and his word comes into your heart and speaks itself out and declare. He interprets his own word through you. He is trying to find somebody he can get a hold of to show that he is still God. Amen. See, and he will do that if he can just get somebody he can speak to. He's trying. Maybe you've got atheist friends or atheist family or whatever it be. You yield to God in such a way, he'll be able to use you in a way for them to see there has to be a God. There has to be a God, because maybe you say something that maybe they knew you didn't have any idea about. Not that you're a prophet or saying, you know, thus saith the Lord, you was here and you did this, but just something beyond what they know that you knew, and they recognize that had to be something bigger than that person's intellect. What is he doing? He's trying to find somebody that he can prove that he's still God through. Oh, how many slip up your hands tonight and say, God, use me. God, use me in some way to prove that you're still the same yesterday, today, and forever. God, use me. What did Brother Branham say there in one place? He said he's longing for somebody that'll bring him a fresh drink of water. He's typing it to David there, how that he yearned for a fresh drink of water out of that well back at Bethlehem there. He's longing for somebody that can bring him a fresh drink of water. He's longing for somebody that he can speak through, somebody he can move through, somebody that he'll yield no matter what anybody else thinks, no matter what anybody else is doing or saying. Just yield yourself to a place to where he can use you. Amen. He says if he can get another woman with a blood issue, he can still speak the same. He can still do the same, making known, declaring. He said we're in the presence of God. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. Lord Jesus, I hope tonight that we can recognize, Lord, as much as we appreciate brothers and sisters of like precious faith, as long as we appreciate these minister brothers that are sitting here and the musicians and the deacons and the trustees, as much as we appreciate the ministry and the bride of Jesus Christ around the world, those that are being used as missionaries and going into the jungles and places taking this message, as much as we appreciate that, Lord, it has to be more than just human effort. It takes the Holy Spirit to come and quicken. Lord, may we recognize tonight that we're in more than just the presence of a man. Lord, just Brother Nathan, Brother Layton, Brother Trevor, Brother Arnie, Brother Hoover, these different brothers, just us showing up to the church, that's not enough. No matter how much the people would appreciate or respect us, Lord, if we show up, that's all right. But if you don't show up, Lord, then we're men most miserable. But may we recognize tonight that, Lord, you promised us in your word, wherever two or three would gather in your name, that you would be in their midst. Lord, I've tried my best. Lord, I know I hope I didn't hurt people's feelings. I hope I didn't offend people tonight, Lord, but I've done my very best that I know how to yield to what you was laying on my heart just as quick as you was giving it, Lord. I know some of these things are controversial. I know some of these things are upsetting because of people's lifestyles or Lord, just their social standings or whatever it be. Lord, I didn't do it to pick on any individual or any person. Lord, I believe we all needed to hear it tonight. From the pastor down to the back row, Lord, to the basement, wherever anybody is, Lord. I believe we needed this tonight. I've tried my best to yield to you. Lord, may they recognize it. We're not just in the presence of some men, but that you're here tonight. That your Holy Spirit is trying to get us to take a step closer. Lord, more of you and less of us. Trying to get some more of that old sinner man part of us died out so that you can come and take your abode in our life. Less of our natural attributes and our nature and more of you in our life. Lord, sometimes it takes harsh cutting things to shake our attention and to wake us up, Lord. Lord, however you want to use me, whether people understand or not, Lord, you know my personality. I want people to like me. I want people to pat me on the back and say, hey, you did all right tonight, Brother Nathan. We appreciate you. That's my nature, Lord. I love people, and I want people to love me. But, Lord, I want you to love me more than anybody. Lord, I don't want to just yield to the opinions of man or what's popular, Lord, but I want to make sure, especially when I step behind this pulpit, Lord, I want to make sure that it's not just some people-pleasing agenda, Lord, but it's whatever you would have for us. We love you tonight, Lord. Lord, we love to try to please our brothers and sisters and make them happy, but Lord, we don't want to just be men pleasers. We want to please you. We want to do whatever you tell us to do. Say whatever you tell us to say, Lord. Help us, Lord. I know maybe some facing decisions right tonight, Lord, that difficult things. They don't know maybe where to turn or what to do or where to go or what decisions to make. Lord, I know that you will never lead them wrong. But help us as human beings, as men and women, as sons and daughters of God. Help us, Lord, not just to fly off the handle in our humanity or whatever the first thing we think to do or action we think to take, but help us to lay in the presence of the Holy Spirit long enough for you to temper those things in us to where we could do what you would have us to do. Whether somebody understands or whether they don't, Lord, we want what you want for our life. Lord, help us to yield so much to you to where people could see the life of Christ living in us, to where people could see the love of Christ being projected from our life, Lord. Whether it's reciprocated or not, whether people treat us bad or whether they treat us good, help us to be able to express the love of Christ in this age, Lord. People out here are longing for just a little bit of true, genuine love of Christ. They're looking, running to and fro, looking for it. Lord, some of them getting caught up in all kinds of things. Your prophet said starving children will eat from a garbage can. But Lord, help us to express a genuine love of Christ to others. Lord, not just those that agree with us, not just those that pat us on the back, not just those that see things the way we do doctrinally, but Lord, help us to love somebody even if we disagree with them. Lord, your prophet taught us that even if we disagree bitterly, we still should be able to put our arm around that person and tell them we love them, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Lord. We need you. Lord, in this age of Satan going about trying to destroy everything that can be destroyed, we need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, as a husband, as a father, as a pastor, as a friend. I need you, Lord. I need you to be able to lead me and guide me for decisions. I need you for wisdom, Lord, and encouragement for others. I need you to give me counsel so that I can counsel others, Lord. I need you, Lord. Lord, I can't go on without you. I need more of you in my life. Less of me and more of you, Lord. That's the only way we're going to make it in this age. Help us, Jesus. May that be the desire of every person's heart tonight, I pray. May we get desperate before you. In Jesus Christ's name.
Oh, the more that I surrender, the lighter my load. More than I, the more you take control. More than I can humble myself, the more you lift me up every day. Lord, I love you.
Oh, let's sing it to him tonight.
I know just Sunday night, Brother Trevor preached a wonderful sermon on, it was just convicting and really made us think. And I know there was many. The altar was just absolutely full. And I'm not one that pulls and pulls and pulls for people to come to the altar. But I believe God's trying to do something in people's lives tonight. Amen. Maybe you say, Brother Nathan, I've already been saved. I've been baptized. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Me too. But I want more of him tonight. I want more of him tonight. I want him to take more control of my actions, of my words, of my life. I need more of him. Amen. We're never going to make it in this age without more of him. Amen. I wonder how many tonight would just want to come up around the altar and pray. You don't have to kneel. We can stand or whatever you want. But how many come up and just want to rededicate your lives to Jesus Christ? Say, Lord, I got to have more of you in my life. I got to have more than what I got. I thank you for what I have, God, but I got to have more. I got to have more love in my life. I got to have more compassion for my fellow man. I got to care more about those that I disagree with. I got to care more about family members. I got to stop giving up on people so quickly. I got to stop giving up on myself. I need more of you in my life. Oh, Lord, you see each one. Lord, you see each situation, you see each life. Lord, we come tonight, Lord, not to stand before a man, but Lord, we come to rededicate our lives to you, Lord Jesus. We need more of you in our life. Lord, we need that convicting power of the Holy Spirit to come and take all these little besetting things out of our lives, distractions, things that would hold us back, things that would hinder us, Lord. Lord, these that are standing here tonight, these that are kneeling at the altar, those that are sitting in their pew, Lord, that, Lord, they're just maybe using their pew to rededicate their life. That's all right, Lord. It doesn't matter where we're sitting at physically or geographically. Lord, it just matters what's down on that heart, reaching out for more of you to say, Lord, I want to rededicate my life. I got to have more of you so that I can express it to the world, so that I can express it to my family, so that I can express it to my loved ones. Oh, how Satan tries to come in and rob us of that love. He tries to put little rough edges between relationships. But Lord, there's something about the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. It takes all that away from us. It takes all those little bitter, rough edges away. And Lord, puts us in a condition where we can shake hands with anybody, tell somebody we loved them and that we're praying for them, even if we disagree with them, Lord. Lord, that's what it's going to take in this age. Your prophet told us perfect love is the only way we're going to make it. Lord, we get so consumed. Lord, I'm guilty of it tonight. We get so consumed sometimes with trying to make sure that we're so right about everything. That's wonderful. I understand, Lord, but your prophet told us he'd rather see us be right in our heart and wrong in our doctrine than the other way.
Lord, help us get that heart situation checked out before we pay so much attention on rules and regulations and doctrines and creeds and ideas of man. Lord, it's going to take a life of the Holy Spirit moving in us. Lord, I thank you for your word, but it's going to take more than just being able to memorize. It's going to take that life that your word talks about. Lord, give us more of that. More of that life, Father. More of that love for others. Help us, Lord, all these besetting things. Lord, help us just to make sure that we've got our heart right with you and that we're in a condition where we can tell somebody we love them and mean it, not just because we know that it's something that we ought to do as Christians, but where we can look somebody in the eye and tell them, I love you and I'm praying for you. We may not see eye to eye. We may not do everything exactly the same way. We may not sit on the same pews. We may not go to the same church, or we may not do things the exact same way, but I love you and I'm praying for you and I want to see you over there. I want to walk the streets of gold with you. Father, if we can't pray like that, if we can't talk to people like that, Lord, then we need to get to an altar somewhere. Help us, Jesus. Lord, help us not to be a hypocrite about this, but help us to be able to express that love like you're calling us to, like you had for others. Lord, we want to love our families. We want to love the people at the church here, Lord. Even sometimes Satan tries to come in and upset those things, Lord, but we don't want it to stop at these doors. Lord, there's dying humanity out here that's never heard what we've heard, that we need to shine a light to. There's other brothers and sisters, Lord, in this area and around the world that maybe they don't see everything like we do, but they love you and they love this prophet that you sent us in this age, Lord. Help us to draw the circle bigger. Help us not to get so selfish and narrow-minded in our ideas that we can't love somebody, that we can't be concerned about somebody. Help us, Lord, ring us out tonight. Take us back to the potter's house. Do whatever you got to do. Mold us, make us, reshape us, Lord. We got to have more of you. Help us, Jesus, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. A brother to a brother, a sister to a sister. Why don't you lay your hand over on somebody tonight? Pray for them as well. Musicians sacrifice a lot so that they can create an atmosphere, but I feel the presence of God so strong here. I don't think the music changing a little bit would change it. You brothers, if you want to leave the music and go pray for somebody or pray with somebody, you're welcome to tonight. Let's just worship him. I know the clock's moving around, but this presence of God we feel here tonight is more important than Burger King or Arby's or whatever it is that you're looking at tonight. Let's just agree together tonight. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for our brothers and sisters, Lord, that feeling the unction of the Holy Spirit here and you moving in our midst, Lord. Lord, we don't want to miss this opportunity just to spend some time with you. Lord, be with these that we have our hands laid on. Lord, may we not just pray for ourselves, but for these as well. Lord, for Brother Layton that I have my hand laid on tonight, Lord. And be with him and help him, Jesus. Strengthen his body, Lord. Use him to be a blessing to others. Lord, he's been such a blessing over the years, but Lord, just continue to use him to help others. Be with each one, Lord, that we have our hands laid on tonight. Lord, may you touch those that are sick in body. May you encourage those that are dealing, Lord, with trials in their life. Maybe Satan has tried to drag them down to the depths of despair and discouragement and depression. But Lord, may your Holy Spirit get a hold of them and bring them back up to where you'd have them to be tonight.
Encourage their hearts, Lord. Strengthen them, I pray. Lord, many of them here tonight have sick family members that are maybe at home, or Lord, those that are sick and couldn't be here tonight, the Soderquist family and different ones, Lord, sick in body. Lord, may you go to them and touch them and heal them, I pray. Lord, for those that will go back maybe and listen later, may you just be with them. May they feel the same atmosphere that we feel here tonight. May conviction come into their home or their car or wherever they're at, Lord, to where they'll have to pull over to the side of the road or stop what they're doing and just rededicate their life to, Lord. Be with those that have lost loved ones that have strayed from you. Lord, may you bring back all those prodigal sons and daughters to the fold, I pray, Lord Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Use us, Lord, to be a life, a light that others can see, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Oh my, he's good to us, isn't he? In an atmosphere like this, there's no telling what he might do. Amen. I don't believe you got to go out of here sick if you came in sick. If you came in discouraged, you don't got to go out of here discouraged. If you came in with bitterness in your heart to somebody, you don't have to leave here with that thing. Amen. Whatever you're facing tonight, he's here tonight. Amen. Sister Stephanie's not here to sing it for us, but maybe we can sing it together. Oh, there's a miracle in the making, one just for you, the Father is working, even now. You believe that tonight? I believe it with all my heart. Your prayers have been heard. Oh, and the answer's on the way. Thank you, Lord. Oh, there's a miracle in the making for you today. Oh, let's sing it again tonight together. Yes, there's a miracle.
Oh, the making for you today. Oh, there's a miracle. It's here.
Oh, yeah. just to sign my
say that he's good tonight. Amen. What a blessing. Sure is a blessing to have a pastor who will yield himself and let God speak through him and give us words that will encourage us and that we can build upon. Just feel led to sing this before we go. It's 373. Just want to tell you what Brother Branham said about being an emancipator. When that direct revelation comes from heaven that Christ is your emancipator, that when he has become your Savior, your deliverer, and that is anchored in your heart, all the devils in torment will never make you deny it. Amen. He set us free. We should sing about it and rejoice. He's a great emancipator.
Oh, once my heart and soul were fettered by those binding chains of sin. Oh, but the great emancipator, he set me free to worship him.
Church. I certainly don't want to take too much time, but those, you know, when we stand, we yield ourselves as the word went forth and has been telling us to do. You know that it's great and it's wonderful we come forward, but you know, even a prophet said one time, "I die daily." You're gonna have to yield tomorrow too. You're gonna have to yield the next day. So help us, Lord. But you appreciate the word of God. Everything he said today, that's stuff Brother Branham already said. So don't get mad at either messenger. because it's coming from God Almighty. So that's he spoke to his church tonight. God spoke to his church tonight. God spoke to your heart tonight. So, but I would say, just as we close and dismiss in prayer, let's just remember to lift up Brother Nathan in prayer. You know, the prophet said, and I can attest to this, that he said 20 minutes of inspired preaching is like working 8 hours with a sledgehammer. Well, he preached for at least an hour, probably an hour and 20 minutes. So that's probably more like 24 hours with a sledgehammer. In 1 hour, he did all that. And I know that's hard to fathom, but unless you've been there and done that, but let's just lift him up in prayer, because I know the way he yielded himself, it's gonna take a toll on his body. So let's lift up Brother Nathan in prayer as we dismiss. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you first for the word that you spoke to us, Lord God. Lord, you're so good to us, Lord, to bring correction to us, to bring encouragement to us, and to show us, Lord, the path that you would have us to walk in. Lord, you're good that you don't leave us in darkness, Lord, but you provide light to light the way, and we're so grateful for it. Now, Lord, we know that you used a vessel tonight. And you, by your grace, you helped him get out of the way and speak, Lord, what you had for your church. But, Father, we know it takes a toll on that body, on that vessel that you use. So, Lord, we pray that you'd strengthen him, that you'd lift him up, Lord God, and that you would, Lord, just bring virtue back into his body, Lord God. Lord, may it not be, you know, just 3 days of just being very, very tired, but, Father, may he just sleep well tonight and receive that virtue supernaturally from you, Lord God. Bless him abundantly, Lord, for what he did tonight, Lord God. Lord, we know it was, as the prophet talked about, just getting into that gear to get ourselves out of the way. Lord, help us, every single one of us, with that. Lord, to hear and to put into practice what we've heard tonight. So bless us now, Lord, as we go. May your songs of praise ring in our hearts, Lord God. And be with us as we leave now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
God bless you. Those of you who want to, you can be dismissed. Let's sing it as we go.
Oh, I'm singing glory.